What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You had better start it up right here on B&E. We appreciate you doing it each day. Certainly this day, second day of December. Championship Saturday, 48 hours out now in college football. 12 hours away to the Cowboys and the Saints on Thursday Night Football. Primetime for the Cowboys in the Big Easy. B&E fact of the day, we asked you on the way to the timeout, when was the last time the Saints were this large of an underdog in a home game? Answer, Buck? Any guess?
No.
2015. Last time the Saints were a 5-point or more underdog in the Superdome. That's been a bit, and that's where the Saints are right now.
And Mike McCarthy not on the sideline tonight. Dan Quinn.
And the line went up.
They said they loved him some Dan Quinn, though.
Well, Dan Quinn was a bad fourth quarter from winning a Super Bowl with the Atlanta Falcons, and he's done wonders for that Cowboys defense. But that defense has hit some skids here. If you go back to the game against Denver,
17 games are about. There's going to be that.
There's going to be that
long season. Yes.
Yeah, but the game on Thanksgiving was particularly bad for the Cowboys. They just looked sloppy, right? They gave up over 500 yards. All the penalties. I mean, it was a bad crew officiating. I think it was over officiated. But at the same time, Cowboys and Raiders are two of the more penalized teams in the league, and so they committed a lot of penalties. Anthony Brown, the corner, how many pass interference calls did he have in that game?
They had like three.
Well, don't think that they're not going to test him.
Oh, really? They'll be going
try
after
to get him in
sure.
Single coverage. And but that's where the Raiders can get you in single coverage because they've got weapons. Saints don't have a lot of weapons. So you can place a little extra coverage on their receivers. But we'll see. That's why they're a 5-point dog. That's pretty amazing. That's 6 years since they've been an underdog of that magnitude. And that's what happens when you have Drew Brees at quarterback and Sean Payton coaching your team.
Just looks like the right time for the Cowboys to get well again.
Feels like it. I mean, they should have Amari Cooper back tonight, whether he's full go or just give you half the snaps. But as we said, he and CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup on the field together present a lot of problems for a defense to go with Dalton Schultz and then the run game with Pollard and Zeke.
Yeah, it won't be that easy to run against this defense.
Well, big question for the Cowboys is going to be that offensive line, right? I mean, it's how does that line stack up in the noise, in the Superdome, in all the loud? Because, they've looked a step slow at times this month anyway. Playing in the Superdome can make you even a step slower with the noise and the silent counts and all of that. Tyron Smith should be there playing left tackle. That's a good thing. Now, Terrence Steele, if something were to happen to Tyron Smith, remember, Terrence Steele is out with the COVID protocols and along with Mike McCarthy and Joe Philbin, who's the offensive line coach. So you think about that, Buck. The O-line becomes the focal point tonight, and they've not had their offensive line coach or assistant offensive line coach this week. Obviously, these are professionals, and they have other coaches who can step in, but we'll see if that is a factor tonight when it comes down to it, because you can have all the weapons you want in Dak Prescott, but you can't block people up front. And that's really the strength of this Saints team is their defensive front and their ability to create pressure and wreak havoc and force turnovers. That's how they try to win football games in New Orleans these days. So that's tonight. Also, we also said, because I heard the afternoon guys talking about this, Nick Saban and Alabama are a 6.5-point underdog
wow.
to Georgia on Saturday. Largest underdog spread for a Nick Saban coach team since 2009.
What does it mean? Tell me what it means.
It means Alabama's been pretty good, coach.
Yeah, for a long, long time.
But how come I'm looking at this thinking 6.5? That's not enough. 6.5? I know, Georgia's schedule has not been...
Why am I, in my mind, rooting for Kirby Smart to just stay down? Stay down
to your
boss. I'm
rooting for Kirby Smart to stomp a mud hole in
Are
the
you?
Tide. Yes.
Come on, man. Roll Tide. Stay down, Kirby.
Isn't it time for some fresh blood in the Final Four?
Well, it's time for...
I know Georgia's been
isn't
there,
Isn't it time
but,
for Kirby to know his place, really? Seriously? Stay down.
Look.
Ugga.
Up until October, no Nick Saban protege has ever beaten him.
Now, I may be saying that.
But Jimbo Fisher got it done.
Next year in week number two when Texas plays Alabama, yeah, it's time for something new. I may be saying that then. Well, because Nick Saban is coming here next year.
Oh, I know it.
You know what he's coming here to do, don't you?
Well, but maybe by then he'll be on a streak of losing to his former assistants because Jimbo Fisher beat him. Maybe Kirby Smart gets him on Saturday. You know, maybe the trend is turning. But really, Nick Saban's the greatest coach in modern college football history.
There's no doubt.
But this isn't a great team. Say what you want about Alabama and the recruiting and the fire. This isn't a great football team. They lost to a team in Notre A&M that had lost two straight. They only beat, you know, Auburn in a miracle overtime game. Auburn's not good.
And this is truly a road game. This is right there.
Auburn was down to a one-legged quarterback, essentially, and almost beat him.
How can I say this is truly a road game? This is like home for Nick Saban and his group going to Atlanta, right?
Well, it's closer to Athens.
Well, but they've been there before. I mean,
so's Georgia.
They've been in this game a lot.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, only thing I say about Georgia is they've allowed 83 points all year. This is not a good Alabama offense. Their biggest problem right now is their offensive line in the interior.
They can't run it a lick right now.
And they're moving guys around on the interior. Where's Georgia the strongest?
Oh, that front?
Right in the middle.
Yes.
Jordan Davis is a monster in the middle. Who's blocking him? I don't know.
That six may not be enough, Zay. I'm thinking, go ahead and roll Tide, just like you're used to doing over Georgia.
This is not the Alabama team of the last couple of years offensively, explosive-wise. And at the same time, you know, if Alabama's going to be in the game, they're going to have to do it with defense, and they're going to have to rise up and force some turnovers of Stetson Bennett, the quarterback. Who
I have
like
seen that line from Georgia, too, by the way.
Well,
they're much better than Alabama's offensive line.
Just that's right. I mean, what's the strength of Georgia? D-line. What's the weakness of Alabama right now? O-line. That usually spells trouble in a football game. And Georgia has one of the best defensive fronts in the last decade in college football. I mean, this thing up there with that Clemson unit of all the first-round draft picks that Clemson had a couple years ago.
Could be the best defense in college football history.
Well, their numbers would say it is. It's on par with anybody when you're allowing under 7 points a game in an offensive era of college football. That's pretty good. So I just don't see how Alabama's going to – they couldn't sustain offense last week against Auburn. I mean, they were shut out into the fourth quarter against that Auburn defense that's just all right. This is, you know, a great Georgia defense. So that's what we're looking forward to. Cowboys Saints tonight, championship Saturday. Let's get to your headlines, though, trending topics to start your 7 o'clock hour. UBO Business Services brings it to you, and we'll start with the Longhorns and the Big 12. How about the Big 12 yesterday releasing the 2022 college football schedule for next year. Longhorns and Sooners not yet announcing whether they'll be headed to the SEC or when that'll happen. So the Big 12 went ahead and released the schedule following their three-game non-conference schedule with Louisiana, Monroe, UTSA, and Alabama next year. Texas, if they're still in the conference, will open conference play September 24th in Lubbock facing Texas Tech. Then home for West Virginia ahead of the annual Red River rivalry game October the 8th at the Cotton Bowl. No Thanksgiving Day or day after game this in 2022 for the Longhorns. Instead, the Horns will host Baylor on Saturday after Thanksgiving. Big 12 championship game for next year set for December 3rd. Of course, this year's Big 12 championship game is Saturday, featuring Baylor and Oklahoma State, 11 o'clock in Arlington, Saturday morning. In other news from the 40 Acres, prominent University of Texas donors, former Longhorn athletes, and veteran sports marketer Nick Shuley announced yesterday that they have formed and launched the first-of-its-kind name, image, and likeness program called the Clark Field Collective at the University of Texas. According to Shuley, the collective has received an initial pledge commitment of $10 million and has a stated goal of becoming the largest dedicated fund in the nation for college athletes. The Clark Field Collective is unaffiliated with the university, but has been created to assist the school's athletes in 17 varsity sports in cultivating, facilitating NIL opportunities in conjunction with business owners, donors, and fans. Basketball at the Irwin Center last night, 15th-ranked Texas women improved to 5-1. They took down Jackson State 78-64. Texas men are back in action tomorrow night, hosting UT Rio Grande Valley, 6 o'clock at the Irwin Center. Of course, also tomorrow night, the second-ranked women's volleyball team will open up play in the NCAA tournament. Matter of fact, that'll open up tonight at Gregory Gym with tournament action at the Greg tonight and tomorrow night for Jared Elliott's ladies. In the NBA last night, Mavericks crushed the New Orleans Pelicans in New Orleans, 139-107. Houston won their fourth straight. They beat Oklahoma City. Watch out for the Rockets now. Major League Baseball has officially entered into its first labor stoppage since 1994. Owners have locked out the players as of midnight last night. Unanimous vote by the owners yesterday. The move comes after the league's collective bargaining agreement expired at midnight. The CBA is the contract that allows MLB and MLB players to conduct business. That's not going to happen for the foreseeable future. Commissioner Rob Manfred will hold a press conference in Arlington this morning to discuss the next steps.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
You know, E, this, with all these coaches, coaching changes, you know, we get, you know, as I said, the Specs text line, we love your opinions. That's why we do this. We love your opinions too. But guys, it says all these coaching changes and we can't cut Sark a break. I think we've cut the head coach of Texas a lot of breaks here. This team was better than 5-7. They did not do a good job this year. But not once did you ever hear us say, I don't think either one of us says fire Sark and get somebody else. This isn't the right guy. I believe you have to give him a chance. I think things will change. I think he can get it done. I think this likeness and image deal is going to help them an awful lot in a lot of different ways. But this coaching staff, honestly, guys, 5-7.
Well, and then,
now, and then it says here they better not lose to UTSA next year. Dude, they lost to Kansas. What makes you think that they can beat UTSA? I mean, seriously.
Well,
you can't say they better not lose because they lost to Kansas. They didn't beat Kansas. Still, let's not forget that they lost to that group. So
yeah,
the better not loses to is not open for conversation.
Well, it's got to get better.
Yes.
I'll agree with the texter. They better not lose to UTSA. Yes, they lost to Kansas, but it better get better. That has to change. But was this a year where you step back and where you're raising the bar and challenging guys to rise to it, and some guys did and some guys didn't, and that's how you're...
And you've got to find about the people that you have in
right.
your program.
Then,
like you said, this isn't the NFL.
Right, you don't lower the bar and standard that you're going to have.
No.
Because the players aren't ready to rise to it. You ride with the guys that did.
By the way, a lot of this is on the players, too. We look at all these coaches and... I mean, there's a lot of, I'm not saying that they're not dedicated, but there's a lot that goes into being that guy on this campus playing this particular sport.
There's a lot
of them that didn't raise the bars themselves, and we see that.
Well, I mean, that's what I would, you can jump all over the coaches for losing to Kansas. The players lost to Kansas, too.
Yes.
And they didn't fight for it in the first half. You can put that all on the coaches if you want. But I saw guys willingly getting blocked, willingly getting pushed around by a bad Kansas team.
Right.
That's internal pride, right? That's personal pride. And this team is challenged with that right now. And that's where Sark's trying to, find the right guys and bring in the right guys.
Mm-hmm.
And look, but again, cutting Sark slack is sure we have. But at the same time, it's not unfair to criticize where there's criticism, right? There was off-field circuses going on. It wasn't good enough. 5-7, unacceptable after 7-3. But at the same time, it's also not unfair to ask the leadership of Texas, did they do a thorough enough search when they hired Steve Sarkisian, right? I mean, that's not an unfair question. If LSU was able to lure Brian Kelly away from Notre Dame, one of the more established top-end coaches in college football, did you ask? That's not an unfair question. Was Sark another quick hire where you didn't do the thorough cross-the-country search? USC fired their coach and made a plan to hire the next coach back in September. And they talked to everybody, right? They did a thorough – they talked to Brian Kelly. They talked to coaches in the National Football League. They talked to everybody they could, and they ended up getting Lincoln Riley, who is as big a fish as you can get. It's not an unfair question to ask, did Texas do a thorough enough search when they hired Steve Sarkisian? That's not to say you can't support the coach and believe he can be the one to get this thing turned.
Right.
Those are two different conversations, but either way, that's why I give LSU a buck on. They hired Brian Kelly. I didn't.
Yeah, but the word you better not lose to certain people, dude. You've already lost to Kansas. Where is the better not after that?
Well, no, let's all agree. It can't be. It's got to be a lot better next year.
For sure,
it has to be a lot better. 1 year, unacceptable, but you just understand it. This was the installing your culture year. Whatever you want to call it, but it's got to be
even
a lot.
That, even 5-7, I don't understand.
Agreed.
I don't get that.
Agreed. And those are fair questions. But again, when we were talking LSU and hiring Brian Kelly, throughout the search, you were hearing names like Mel Tucker.
Sure.
You were hearing Luke Fickell. These are I don't want to say unproven coaches, but these are coaches young in their careers. Brian Kelly is an established coach who has built programs at three different places along the way into championship-level programs, and including at Notre Dame. That's a great hire. mean, that is a great hire. Is it guaranteed to work at LSU? No, because nothing's guaranteed, but that's a really good hire. That's you shot high and you got it. Same with USC. And that becomes the question with Sark and Texas, and can you get it turned? But that leads us into our Coach's Corner. It's brought to you by Audiovisual Consultation. That's avconsultation.com. Bringing it strong into the new year. And you say they've got all the Sonos equipment over there.
Yeah, they do. They have an abundance of it. You don't have to worry about going to the big box stores. Tom McKay and his group, they have it right there. And they're not raising the prices on it either.
You know what you love about Tom and his team? Like, when you go buy a new TV, then you got to go buy the bracket and everything to hang it and everything.
No, they'll come over and
they
get
do
it done.
It all. Yeah. They do it all. And they've
and
got
they're
it
And they're not going to scrape up your walls or put huge monitors.
Like I would.
Like I know I would.
Oh, man, it's uneven. Dang it.
Let me do this
Where's
all over
level?
Again. Yeah, let me do this all over again. Here, let me put us another hole here.
And by the way, that Sonos is awesome. I get, you know, on my phone, I can put music on all throughout my house. It's pretty cool.
Yes.
Love that thing.
Love it.
Okay, so Coach's Corner. As we just told you in the last hour, if you're just tuning in, it looks like Marcus Freeman is the new head coach at Notre Dame. That is a done deal. According to multiple reports, it's not official yet from the university, but there was a report close to Notre Dame that the head man, Father Flanagan, or whatever his name was.
Father Flanagan from Boys Town.
He's got to get back from the Vatican.
He's at the Vatican hanging out.
To rubber stamp the deal for Marcus Freeman. But Longhorns, we mentioned Big 12 schedule is out for next year. Do we anticipate at this point the Longhorns will be playing in the Big 12 in 2022?
I do. I'm hoping they are. I'm hoping they're not going to take that jump right this second with us talking about 5-7 and if our players involve, are they dedicated to playing?
Well, it's one of those.
Because going to the SEC will make you dedicated or they will just roll you over. And I'm not talking about the Alabamas and Georgias of the SEC. I'm talking about the Mississippi States and the Mississippis. And the Texas A&Ms of the world will just roll this group if they're not ready to fight.
Yeah, it's probably better for the program to stick in the Big 12. But look, things change quick. Like this year, last time, who would have imagined the Longhorns and Sooners were even leaving to go to the Southeastern Conference? A lot can happen when the season's over. The Big 12 has already picked the four teams that are coming in to replace the two that are leaving. A team like BYU could be into the conference as soon as next year if they wanted to be. They're an independent. They're free to move when they want. The others have conference affiliations of their own to deal with. So it does feel like they'll be in the conference for one more season. And 2023 has kind of always been the thought. But as we talked about a lot during the year, could you fast track that? Could you buy this thing out? Could you get there quicker? But again, nothing will happen until the summer because this is not just a football move to the SEC. This is the entire athletic department moving to the Southeastern Conference. So they would have to wait till baseball season's over, essentially, to now they can have the conversations, obviously. But the schedule is out. It does include, how about opening up with Texas Tech? I think that's the third or fourth straight year they've opened conference play with the Red Raiders, if they do indeed do that. West Virginia, Oklahoma, then Iowa State is your first four in conference. And as we've said, the first three, tough. I mean, Louisiana Monroe is a win, but then UTSA, Alabama, or Alabama-UTSA, your next two, with Alabama here. How big of a matchup is that going to be? I mean, it's huge. It's Alabama. It's Roll Tide rolling in here. Can Steve Sarkisian build a roster that can hang with the Crimson Tide by next season?
Well, they're down, but their quarterback becomes another year older, and that kid is good.
Well, he might win a Heisman Trophy. He finds a way to beat Georgia.
Yes.
Saturday, which I don't think he can.
Chalk it up.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be the reason why they do win.
If he does, they
play.
Do. That's
yes.
Right. You're right about that. Because they're not going to do it running the ball. They're not going to do it on the ground.
No. Nick Saban will come here with a mat on Sark. This won't be my arm. Let me put my arms around you. There's a group of guys that Sark took with him that Nick Saban's not very still. You don't think he's forgotten about that, do you? Here's what you left me with, Bill O'Brien. This is what you left me with.
Well, he hired Bill O'Brien. Yeah. He hired Doug Marrone to replace Steve Sarkisian and Kyle Flood. That was his call. But in so far, not so great with Bill O and Doug Marrone coaching the offensive line.
That team has only lost a game. We're acting like Alabama's lost four games.
Sure. No, I mean, they've lost a game, but they've nearly lost two or three others, and that's college football. We're not used
right.
to Alabama playing real close football games.
Absolutely.
They are this year, and they found a way to win.
And they're finding a way to win, except with the one exception.
Yeah. Well, and then there's Georgia, which is just a different animal, right? I mean, they haven't played a close game this year.
They played first quarters that have been semi-close.
The Tennessee game in the first half was marginally close. But
and that was it,
By the second half, it was because no one moves the ball. No one scores points. on their defense. And so the offense just kind of wears it out and, you know, stretches the lead and never really get threatened. So that's the SEC championship game, 3 o'clock on Saturday. Buck, what do we make of this Clark Field cooperative? No, why do we keep calling them cooperative? Collective. My bad.
I like it. I mean, if your hat's in that ring, then you might as well have the best of the best. And
yeah,
if these guys have come together and this corporation, these guys and women have come together to help out the University of Texas in image and likeness, why not be the best, right?
Yeah, here's the way it was described. Prominent University of Texas donors, former Longhorn athletes, veteran sports marketer Nick Shirley launched an 8-figure NIL program Wednesday that should become the template for deep-pocketed supporters of Blue Blood schools nationwide. The Clark Field Collective has secured an initial pledge of commitment of $10 million for Texas NIL activities, an attention-gathering figure to start a program whose goal is nothing short of possessing the largest dedicated fund in the nation for college athletes.
And by the way, these as we still call them kids, people have said they are still kids to me. They're younger than my kids. They are kids. This is college football. This isn't life or death. They're not going to war. They're going into some battles, but they're not going into war. But it doesn't mean that I'm going to sit here and hammer a kid because he's getting paid money. We're not going to do that. We won't do that anyway. And I know people would say, you know, you need to be saying names and all this stuff. They get paid now. Oh, it's not that I'm not going to criticize individuals, but I'm not hammering anybody.
Well, I've never liked the term kids.
Yeah.
I like young adults, and that's what they are, right? They're young adults. They're 18 years old. I've got a 19 and 20 year old at my house. I don't call them kids. They're my kids, but they're young adults,
right?
Is what they are. And you're hoping, but you're right. I mean, that's where we are, but they are getting paid now and they can make money. And I give Nick Shuley and TJ Ford and Kenny Vaccaro,
who's
a big part of this, a lot of credit, because Texas has as deep a pockets as any university in the country.
And if you're in that game, you might as well be the best at
being
in that game.
And somebody's got to organize the deep pockets. I'm sure there's a lot of deep-pocketed donors that want to be a part of it, but what do I do? How do I help?
Yeah, how do I go up to an individual kid and just start talking to him? Who represents that player?
Right, and according to the conversation yesterday, this guy Nick Shuley, who's represented the likes of, you know, he's been a marketer for Lollapalooza, Bo Jackson, Lance Armstrong, he's going to be the CEO of this, and then there's going to be a board of directors. So this is going to be an organized collective to help raise money and then distribute it to the athletes in the 17 varsity sports of Texas. Smart move. We're going to try to get to Nick Shuley and have him on the show to explain further how this is going to work and what the long-term vision is. So we'll get to that coming up. There's your Coach's Corner, brought to you by AV Consultations. We come back, we'll pick up those conversations, plus the Buck-ons and Buck-offs. Also, hot or not for the end of the hour. 8 o'clock hour, talk to our friend Brian Davis, Austin American Statesman. His thoughts on this collective, on the Longhorns and the Big 12 in 2020. Two, will it happen? Also, the championship weekend coming up. BD will join us coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. It's a busy Thursday on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
People are ornery today. Buck off Thursday on the Specs text line says, yeah, but their loss, Alabama's, was to the Aggies. That's like four losses in one, he said. Yeah, probably. Only one loss. But it does feel like Bama's lost more than one game this year. But they haven't. And they play Georgia on Saturday, part of championship Saturday. Cowboys and Saints tonight. You'll have the game right here on the Horn. Can the Cowboys turn the corner, get back to their winning ways of September and October? And the game tonight will be on 101.9 and AM 1260. That's where you'll find it on the radio dials, because on 104.9 tonight we've got Longhorn Weekly talking Texas basketball, plus Isaiah Collier with the right calls. Are you ready for episode number 3 of your new basketball program?
Yeah, always ready. With UT playing Rio Grande Valley tomorrow, I'm going to have the all-time leader in minutes at UT Rio Grande Valley, Aaron Urbanis, Native Roots, on with me tonight. So that'll be fun.
Nice. Where'd he go to high school?
Bowie.
Bowie High.
Yep.
Of course, he's one of them dogs.
Bulldogs. Good luck to
it's
all of
you. It's going to be tough for you to get soup and sandwich today. You got work to do.
Yeah, no soup and sandwich today.
You're working straight through, E, all the way to the show. That's what I'm talking about. That's dedication.
Dang, Zay was here at 5:20. I heard him walk in the door, and then
oh, yeah.
He's going to be producing the midday show shirts and skins, and then bang.
Well, he's a young guy. He can't move up to the – he's got to stay back at the back tees. He can't move up like the old man.
I got
to
buck you off for your pride and hubris.
What are you talking about?
You played with a 73-year-old guy yesterday.
Yes.
Out at the UT Golf Club.
Yes. You know, the one that John McAvich –
73.
The John McAvich spent 2 years hanging out there.
What did he tell you?
Have some fun.
Short knocker.
What are you doing back there? You're going to move up here with me.
Yeah. And you said, no, not till I'm 70. I'm like, what does 70 have to do with it? Golf is supposed to be fun. He's right on.
What? Fun? Did he just say golf is supposed to be fun?
I played the UT Golf Club. There's a lot of ravines and carries that you have to be able to get over.
Or you lose those $4 or $5 balls.
Right. You have no chance.
Yes. I did that a couple times where I had no chance. Well, even from where he was.
That's why they have different tee boxes. Man, that's just pride.
You know, I'm still,
let your pride get
once
in the
again,
way.
My pride has gotten in the way. I still will not go into the movie and say, I need a senior citizen ticket. I won't go to the movies and do that still. I'm still playing full price because I'm a full man. You know what I'm saying?
You're a man. You're 66.
And the guy said, you deserve to move up to the tee boxes. You've been here this long. This isn't a pride thing. He said, this is where you deserve to play from. Those guys are younger than you. Those guys are 10, 15 years younger than you. They got more oomph. And I'm like, no. I got the oomph.
I've got
I just
got
to bring it out.
I love that. Hey, buck on of the day. I mean, this is a tragic buck on, but it's got to be mentioned here on a buck off and a buck on Thursday. But probably too light for that. But the one of the stories of the week, the tragedy in Oxford, Michigan, buck. Another one of these dreadful school shootings where three students were killed, eight others were injured by a 15-year-old classmate who brought a gun into the school. But it turns out that an Oxford High School football player. Became a hero in this situation because he charged the shooter and lost his own life, but saved a lot of others with his actions and his heroic acts. You know, pretty amazing story here. Tate Meyer is his name, a star junior for the Oxford Wildcats football team, died trying to disarm the gunman and save others in his class. And now
fabulous young man.
The running back's peers want to honor his legacy by renaming the football stadium after him, and I think that would be just about not enough. But, I mean, I don't know. I can't imagine being in that scenario or in that situation and being 16, 17 years old and having the guts to just
to do what
react
he did,
the way
yes.
he did and not protect yourself and hide under a desk or whatever you would most of us would do and ran into the harm and lost his life in doing so, but according to a lot of witnesses, saved a lot of people because he, you know, subdued the attacker and helped to disarm him. Pretty amazing story. Tate Meyer.
Yeah, that's a legacy that will live for a long, long time right there.
Yeah. Number 42 on the football team. 16 years old.
Great job, Tate.
That is just unbelievable. And stuff like that, you know, we talk all about coaching carousels and the madness of sports. And
kids were getting their heart together in the game.
Yeah.
Yes.
But, I mean, it does snap you to the reality of, I mean, these are all small things that we're talking about on a day-by-day basis.
Absolutely. Well,
these are it's money, it's football coaches, it's a football game. And they're important because it's what we do. But at the same time, a young man's life and two others were lost in that situation. And he saved a lot of other people. So, buck on in a huge way to Tate Meyer.
Yeah, we got to continue to, you know, bring to light the positive in a lot of these young men and women that play sports at these colleges and the ones that graduate and go on and do some great things.
No question.
They give a lot. You know, yeah, for those that think that this football season is easy for us to talk about all the negatives that go on, now we understand there's some positive things that happen over there. This time next year, I'd love to be talking about who University of Texas beat and how they beat them and how they came together and how players play with an awful lot of heart, no matter what they thought of the coaches, but they play for their university and play for their families too. So
that's right. I mean, you've got to be dedicated to play varsity sports at a college, even in the high school level.
Sure you do.
Parents know it takes
and
a lot.
And it takes a lot for your families too. It takes, you know, your sisters and brothers that go to those games and show up at those high school games that I get a chance to go do on Saturdays and Fridays throughout the year. That's not just the kid that plays the sport. That's a family affair. High school football in this state, and Zay, you know it as well as anybody, sports in this state is a family affair. It's not just you, the player. It involves your entire family that are involved.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very special, especially down here in Texas.
And good luck to all those high schoolers that are playing into the state playoffs this weekend. And, you know, I'm going to say buck on to Austin High School football. This is pretty cool this weekend. This is, I heard Todd Dodge. Todd Dodge is the legendary, I mean, he's a Hall of Famer, head coach over at Westlake, right? Former Texas quarterback way back in the 80s. And he's got Westlake on course to win a third straight state title.
Mm-hmm.
But in their way on Saturday in the regional final, the quarterfinal action, this is really a city championship. They're going to play Vandergrift in DKR in the stadium. And I heard Todd Dodge say yesterday on Light the Tower that this will be the first time he's coached a game back in that stadium since he played at Texas. In all of his time, whether he was at South Lake Carroll, when he was the head coach at North Texas for a five-year period, and now back at Westlake, he's never coached a game in that stadium, and he's going to coach against Vandergrift.
That is awesome. And I've got my fingers crossed for LBJ and
you know,
learning a lot about their coach and Coach Jackson, who was there before him, and how he's followed in his footsteps. I mean, I've got, and what those kids are doing, too, and what they're doing academically, too, and going and playing college football and getting their academics done. I'm rooting big time for them.
Who's not? Yeah, LBJ, the number one team in 5A.
I've had a player from LBJ, so.
Number one team in their, you know, maybe have a chance to win a state championship.
And they sound like they're just not growing in the ways of football. They're growing in the ways of young men over there and how to be good role models and citizens and great young men in their communities, too. So I'm excited about that. I was privy to have a kid play for me from LBJ. Sean Mitchell. Yeah, I had heard told many a times, there's no way he's graduating. There's no way, Buck, that he's going to make it there with you.
No, that is that's a great day for high school football in this area, which has long taken back seats to the Metroplex, the Houston areas, and this weekend center stage with Westlake and Vandergrift, Lake Travis in action again this weekend as well down in Dripping Springs.
By the way, I'm going to roll up there to Arlington, whether it's with LT or Westlake. If Westlake goes, I'm going up there to see that game. I got to see a 3-time state champion play for that opportunity, because I believe they will.
Well, they got to get by Vandergrift, and we know that Drew Sanders brings a well-coached team and a lot of good athletes, and it's kind of cool. You know, a lot of players at Vandergrift, I'm sure, grew up playing Pop Warner and know some of these Westlake players.
Absolutely.
Too. They're close in proximity, obviously, here in West Austin. So that's fun. LBJ looking to advance. I heard Todd Dodge also said that this is kind of cool. He's going to coach a game in the stadium he played college football in for the first time in 36 years. His son, Riley, who, of course, played at Texas, he is the head coach at South Lake Carroll now. And South Lake Carroll is going to play their quarterfinal game at North Texas. In the stadium that Todd Dodge helped start the build, that new football stadium in Denton. He was the head football coach there when the money started to be raised for that stadium. So he'll be coaching at DKR. His son will be coaching up in Denton in the quarterfinal action of the state high school playoffs. So that's a huge buck on for sure. And you're right about LBJ and Lake Travis and all the rest of these schools as they continue their quest. And I would say this. I'll put it out there again. I mentioned it at the end of the show yesterday. But if you're Steve Sarkisian, and Todd Dodge is indeed retiring from coaching, could you convince him to come in and be an analyst on your football program and help high school football relations, something along those lines, quarterback? Todd Dodge is a really, really high-level football coach.
Absolutely.
At any level. And he had 5 years at North Texas, and then he coached at Pitt for a stretch as a quarterback's coach. But high school football was where he knew he needed to be. But man, you could do worse, especially if he's living here, retiring here. I know he's got Marble. He's out at Horseshoe Bay, but just a thought. He's still only in his 50s.
Very interesting 5 years for me of doing broadcasts with Mark Honig, because I never got a chance to coach high school football. Whether it was in Pennsylvania or anyplace else, I just never got that. I never sought that out. I went right to college coaching, and there have been times when I said I'm glad I did. But there are times now that after this 5 years, I wish I'd have been a part of high school coaching.
Well, it's you're turning young boys into young men and hoping as they develop. And I know Isaiah Collier's dad has coached over at Bowie High School for 3 decades plus.
And Coach Abel's over
Coach
there,
Abel's
too.
Coach Abel's been there that long, too. It's, and that's why Todd Dodge came back to high school football.
Yeah, it's not always coaching winning teams. It's about coaching winning people.
That's right. Hey, you're on a roll today. Get all the motivation going.
I'm ready. I'm excited. I'm excited for this, as we say, as we go on, and Sark is here next year. Everybody seems to need to get their act together.
It says, and yeah, bring Cade Klubnik with him.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm not, hey. I wouldn't be down about that.
Well, I know, you know, Mac Brown.
That kid playing quarterback, is all I had to do was see that the game that I got a chance to call.
Well,
it's not like I need to see, no, Buck, you need to see four more films. No, I don't. Not really.
Well, Mac Brown hired Bob Shipley when he retired from high school coaching, and Bob was big integral in connections with the high school coaches in the state and high school, you know, relations and then setting up camps and things of that nature. I think he could do worse. I don't know. It's, for Todd, it's his alma mater. I mean, this is where he
You're
played
right.
college football. I'm not saying he would do it. I've never even talked to him about it. But if I'm Steve Sarkisian, it's an open invitation, I would say, as, you know, whenever this season is over for Westlake, he is hanging him up as a high school football coach. So just a note. And good luck to all those teams this weekend. And buck on to that young man in Oxford, Michigan, who lost his life saving others. Just a tragic story, but what a heroic thing he did to save his classmates. We'll come back when we do. We'll lighten the mood, a little hot or not. Topics we've missed halfway through the program. Also, Brian Davis from the Austin American-Statesman joins us after the top of the hour. His thoughts on this new Clark Field Collective that's been announced. NIL, you know, digging into the deep pockets of Texas. Also, his thoughts on Championship Saturday and the Longhorns in the offseason. It's B&E on the Horn.
What's hot? And what's not?
This segment brought to you by Altstadt Beers, brewed right here in the heart of the Hill Country. Check out their state-of-the-art brewery, tap room, and restaurant next time you're in Fredericksburg. Altstadt Beers, no impurities, no regrets.
B&E on a busy Thursday, coming up after the top of the hour. What is the Clark Field Collective? Also, will the Longhorns be playing in the Big 12 in 2022? The schedule was released yesterday. We'll ask Brian Davis of the Austin American-Statesman both of those. He's on the Longhorn beat, has been for a long time. Isaiah Collier is going to lead us through a couple of topics we've missed halfway through this show. We'll be halfway through at the top of the hour. And Buck, can I play something for you guys?
Sure.
That I found yesterday on the TikTok. I was thumbing through the TikTok, and mostly a waste of time. But every once in a while, you stumble on something and you say, this guy's really talented.
Yeah, you guys almost sent me back to the tsunamis after yesterday,
Don't
too.
Do it.
Don't do it.
So, obviously, the top story of the week has been coaching madness in college football. Lincoln Riley bolting to USC. Brian Kelly bolting in the dark of the night from Notre Dame to LSU. So, you got to picture this because TikTok is a video platform, correct? But the audio is still pretty good. This is one kid who made this video. He's acting out every part and has edited it together. But here is his take on the college football coaching madness. What if this happened within regular families? Here's from TikTok. I don't even know this kid's name.
Dude, are you seeing this? I think Dad's leaving us for the Hendersons. What'd you just say? Dad's bouncing?
Yep, it's true. Adam Schefter in ESPN4 The Father just tweeted it. Dad just texted all of us. Said he's going to address the family when he gets back home from the supermarket.
All right, guys. I'm absolutely devastated that you guys found out through social media and not me personally. I take that to heart as a man of my word, which I'm not, but it's true. I'm joining the Hendersons.
So what? You were just lying to our faces yesterday? And you sat us down right here in this living room. And you looked us directly in the eyes. And you said you weren't going anywhere.
And you were committed to us. This family.
I was committed. But then, you know, Mr. Henderson died in a freak whitewater rafting accident. And, you know, the dad position came open and they wanted me. And quite frankly, it was an offer I couldn't refuse.
What do the Hendersons have that we don't?
Literally everything. They're extremely wealthy. Ungodly wealthy.
They have homes
in Miami, Malibu, and Turks and Caicos.
So what, our humble, middle-class home here in Norman, Oklahoma isn't good enough for you anymore?
Also, Mrs. Henderson, my new wife, she's a 29-year-old yoga instructor. Smoking hot. I mean, God damn.
Where we go. And there we hit the cursing. There we go. He went on, and then they introduced to the new dad. I thought that was pretty funny. Sorry, Zay.
On their way, huh?
we bounced it.
Those kids need to step their game up. Or we're headed to the Hendersons. He is headed to the
Hendersons.
Headed
to the Hendersons. Oh, a man goodness. Of my word, but I'm not. And new mom is smoking hot.
29.
I like it.
Yoga
instructor.
I love it.
With houses in Turks and Caicos. You know, there you go. There's
Come
Brian
on,
Kelly,
kids, Lincoln step up Ryan. Your game.
Sorry for... If you're on the stream, you heard the cursing, but we apologize. I thought it was profanity free, but it was not.
It's yik yak or whatever they do.
TikTok.
Yeah.
But very funny. Way to go. All right.
Yeah, it's been a wild week.
It has been a crazy, like historically wild.
I mean,
this is uncharted territory with two, I mean, you're talking about two flagship programs in the history of college football. Actually, four are involved in this, right? You've got Notre Dame, LSU, Oklahoma, and USC, all part of this. It's pretty impressive. Isaiah Collier is our producer. He is going to lead us through a topic or two we've missed halfway through the show. Zay, how are you?
Pretty good, E. Appreciate it. So we talked about earlier this week the Washington football team and their crappy situation with the sewage.
Yes.
So, well, Robert Griffin III was trending on Twitter yesterday because he's coming out with a tell-all book called Surviving Washington.
Wow.
Yeah, fellas, it's coming out in 2022.
Oh, RG3, I saw this.
Are they going to talk about the turf?
Maybe. He does say he's going to talk about what happened during the 2012 playoff game where he was hurt and the mismanagement of his knee during that time. He's also going to talk about how he was sexually harassed in Washington. And, yeah, he's going to talk about...
Sexually harassed?
Yeah, he said he was sexually harassed somehow because his wife had to go... and clear the air by saying, you know, Robert's not talking about other people's sexual harassment problem. He's talking about his own. Y'all here for the tell-all book, RG3?
Well, I know it was a big topic on this show for quite a while with Mike Shanahan. Remember, Shanahan was the head coach then.
Right.
And, you know, we had covered Robert Griffin III at Baylor on his way to a Heisman Trophy, one of the most electrifying players ever in the Big 12. And I think we both agreed it was pretty shameful to put Robert Griffin back in that football game. On a bad turf, on a bad knee.
Right.
If you remember the circumstance, he had been injured all week, right? He was questionable whether he was going to play in the game or not. But he gamed it out. He went into the game and played in the first half, but you could tell he was not 100%, but he was toughing it out. But then right before the half, he scrambled and rolled to the right, and he landed awkwardly, and it looked like he re-injured the knee. Like, and you're thinking, okay, well, he's done. He shouldn't even be out there. And if you remember, the turf in Washington was just terrible. Like, it was a muddy field. The turf was bad. And so, but then he comes out in the second half and he's back in the game, Buck. He's back in the game. And I'm assuming the tell all book will say that they shot him up full of whatever and he couldn't feel his knee and he came back out. This was a playoff game, so it was an important football game, or it was to get to the playoffs. It was late in the season, December kind of thing. And, you know, then he just blew the knee up. Like, he couldn't feel it, essentially, I'm assuming. And he came back out and I think it was the first series of the second half. That he planted, the knee gave, and
right,
he was never the same
close
again.
To the side, no, he wasn't.
And he was never the same again. I mean, he just a horrible, you know, ripped his entire knee up. And, you know, we talked about it. Should Mike Shanahan, I mean, at that point, you know, Mike Shanahan has to protect his player, right? I mean, Mike Shanahan has to protect the future of the franchise. And instead, I thought he was very reckless with the future of the franchise. But I didn't know anything about sexual harassment. I do know that Washington and Daniel Snyder have been investigated by the NFL for how they handle their business. And people are calling for that investigation to be released.
Yeah, glass stairways and things like that, where women are coming down the stairs. They have all that stuff going on right now.
Yeah. The cheerleader scandal.
Oh, yes.
Where cheerleaders were kind of auctioned off to big advertisers and suite owners.
Photos.
For
yes.
Photo shoots and vacation junkets and things. It's ugly. Ugly in Washington, but Robert Griffin III, I'll be interested in what he has to say. And by the way, Robert Griffin III is kind of a rising TV star. He does a good job.
He does do a good job.
He does
get
his television ops. He does a nice job doing his thing. How about Mike Shanahan? Come on, man! And remember when the year that Robert Griffin III was drafted in the first round, top end of the first round, start of the fourth round, they selected. Kirk Cousins.
My guy.
Took both quarterbacks in one draft. And now your guy, Kirk Cousins, is leading your Minnesota Vikings with a $100 million contract.
Oh, I like that right now.
Hey,
I like their team.
Absolutely. We'll reset your headlines, including the announcing of a launching of the Clark Field Collective with some big money and big names behind it. And then we'll talk to Brian Davis about it with the name, image, and likeness situation. Also, Brian's thoughts on the Longhorns offseason, championship Saturday, and much more. It's B&E on a busy Thursday. Buck-ons and buck-offs all morning long on 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260. Streaming always on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.